Hello, my friend, and welcome to Molly's Mornings. I'm Molly Williams, and I am so excited to be here with you. I asked on my Instagram if you would be interested in having a little Q&A with me to ask some of the questions that maybe you've been curious about or wondering about, and it was so fascinating to hear what you were interested in and the different questions that came up. So I am hoping to get right into it to answer a few of your questions. I may make this a part one, part two, because there were so many questions, and feel free to submit more questions on Instagram at Molly Loves Mornings. But let's get into it. So the first question, quite a few questions around my morning and day routines. I love this. This is something that I get asked a lot about. And I will say, when I first started my personal development, my meditation journey, my morning routine was a lot stricter. I was waking up early. I've done that over certain periods of my life, waking up 5:30, 6 a.m. I love mornings. Clearly, that's a big part of my life, my work. And I would meditate for 30 plus minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it was. Coffee, specific rituals around gratitude, journaling, that kind of thing, movement, everything was very structured, affirmation work. And I really loved that experience. And I go back to that sometimes when I need more of that structure. But I'm a mom now. And so things have changed a bit, not terribly, but they really have evolved as I've grown and evolved. And I would say that my morning routine in the past was very masculine. It was very much, I'm doing the things. This is what I do to succeed. This is how I manifest as I get in the vision and the frequency and all of it. And as I have evolved again and grown in my journey, my routine is much more feminine now, which I actually appreciate and love. So I wake up at all different times. It's very flexible. It's always kind of changing and again, evolving and growing. And I do meditate every single day. Typically, I wake up, I feed Flora. I'm still breastfeeding at this point, and we have a few moments together, which is really nice. I try not to be on my phone. That's very important for me. Sometimes that changes work-wise, but I like to give myself all that space, and I feed her in her room, and we have a couple moments, and then she goes downstairs, and I go to my altar, which is in my office right now, and I usually light a candle or I drink my moon water. I journal, I meditate, I share the practice from that day on my Instagram. You've likely maybe seen me post something called A Sacred Start. This is a Sarah Jenks concept, and I love it. I love having a sacred start to my day. And what I used to do is I used to go downstairs, and I have smoothies still and my lemon water, and all of the beverages are very important to me. And I used to come right back up and start working, and I would work in the morning hours and record the next day's meditation while I'm thinking about it and in the space. But over the last week or so, I've actually switched that, and now I have been going for walks in the morning as the weather in upstate New York is a bit nicer. So I will go outside, and Corey, my husband, takes Flora on a run, and he does the same trail as me. It's a 5K loop, and I just spend the entire walk grounding, thinking about things, dreaming, visualizing, and I listen to other people's podcasts and practices and just feel so anchored and supported, and that connection to the earth and the movement. And it has really resonated with me on such a deep level, deep and profound level. I have felt probably more connected than I felt in a very long time. So that's been such a gift. But that's really where the feminine, I think, comes in is things are constantly changing. As it gets warmer, I'm sure I'll have my drinks outside. I may meditate outside next to my garden, and I'm really free flowing with it. Typically, I don't eat in the morning. I have all my million beverages and things. And sometimes I read in the morning. Sometimes, like I said, I'll work in the morning. I'll have emails or meetings. So it changes a lot. But I think that that freedom has been huge for me. Moving into the day, typically after that walk, or if I was working in the morning, I would come back and have my first meal of the day. This is like around 10 or 10:30, 11, and I have something to eat. I go up to work, either have a meeting or I start to work on the next day's meditation on Wild Minds. Everything is done in real time, which people don't often realize. So you're really getting a sense for my energy and what I'm going through and the practices that I need. So that's very fun because you are on a journey with me and everything is so raw and just as it's meant to be in real time. So I'll work for a while and I'll do that. And I have clients every once in a while, which is really special. I only work with a few private clients at a time. And then typically I spend as much time once I'm finished working with my daughter, Flora. So we are outside constantly, rain or shine, snow, we are outside doing something. And typically my day would wrap up in the afternoon hours. Again, it really depends, moving with that feminine flow. And then I would be outside with her all day, doing things, going for walks, playing in the garden, feeding the birds, whatever the weather is. It's very weather dependent. And then I come back. I typically have something else to eat at that point. I have more drinks, more things, more smoothies maybe. And I do some reading. We hang out. We spend time together. I'm with Corey at this point. And then we wind down for the evening and we have dinner as a family at the table. We all eat together. Even though Flora's only one, she's a big eater, which is great. And then we kind of wind down for bed. I typically do a bath with Flora. She's right in the tub with me. It's a very special experience that I've done with her since she was born. And we play music, and most of the music is meditation music. So it's very soothing. And I put on fairy lights, and it's a very special experience. And then I do baby massage for her, which also is so therapeutic and zen for me. I put her to bed. This is around 6:30 at this point. And then I may watch a little TV, and then I read for probably about an hour. And I read everything from thrillers to nonfiction to the personal development books to romance. So I'm not going to say I'm a strong reader in the sense of the classics, but I love to read, and that's kind of the flow of the day. It changes all the time, of course. And I also do some meditation at night, getting into that practice and space. Sometimes I'll journal if I need to. Yeah, that is the routine as of right now, anyways. So the next question is around affirmations. How does it work? Should I choose just one affirmation? What do I do for affirmations? Is something that came up a lot. I love affirmation work. I think this is huge, especially if you are just getting started in your journey. Affirmations are game changers. They're really, really important. And I'll share with you that I was on my walk this morning and I just kept saying over and over again, I am wealthy, I am healthy, I am happy. I am wealthy, I am healthy, I am happy. And I used to do this more when I would go out walking in the woods and I would just make up little songs around my affirmations. I'm trying to think of them now. Nothing's coming to mind, but I would make like a little something and then I would walk and just recite it over and over and over again. Like, I am thankful. I am grateful. I don't know what it is, but it was so fun for me to do that. And I would just do that for like an hour. And it's amazing how much of a shift that can create within your energy field and the frequency that you are on. So there are, first of all, no rules around affirmations or choosing just one. It can be as many affirmations as you would like. There's no magic number in terms of how many times you need to recite them. How it works is essentially you are flooding your brain with positive, expansive beliefs. This is not only soothing to your nervous system, but you are essentially brainwashing your mind into believing and feeling more and more confident with whatever affirmation you are saying. So I am wealthy, I am healthy, I am happy. Saying that over and over and over again starts to settle within my brain. Oh, I am wealthy. Oh, I'm healthy. Oh, I'm happy. I'm so happy. The more we say it, the more we believe it, the more we feel confident in it, the more we trust it. And that's exactly the point of affirmation work. We are retraining the brain. If you say all day long, which I just went through a period of this, this is why I, on my walk, said, I'm healthy, I'm healthy, I'm healthy. I found myself all day long saying to Corey, I'm so tired, Corey, I'm so tired. I don't think I've ever been so tired in my whole life. I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. I just went through this period, and you can probably hear it in my voice, where I was like, I'm run down. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I don't know what's wrong with me. And I found myself realizing very quickly, I'm just making myself more exhausted by saying how tired I am and how run down I am. I was never getting better. I was never feeling better. I was never feeling more energized by saying that over and over and over again. So by switching that narrative for myself and saying, I feel at peace, I feel happy, I feel healthy, I feel strong, eventually, it shifts everything. It literally shifts your brain chemistry. There's a lot of science behind this. And that extends to the body as well. If you're saying to your body, you're run down, you're not well, you're sick, you don't feel good, what do you think the body, how does that land for the body? The body is going to say, something's terribly wrong, fire up all the defenses, we're sick, we're not seeing something, something's terribly wrong here, let's get going, let's heal. So if you're saying, I'm strong, I feel so good, everything is going to relax. Everything is going to settle. Your digestive system can move. You're out of the fight or flight. You're moving into this place of feeling so good. So that's kind of a long explanation, but affirmation work is definitely your own unique experience and practice. In times of growth, I have said one affirmation many, 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 50 plus times a day. I have trained myself to say, I am a success. I am a success. I am a success. And that may be very helpful to you. I also have listened to music through Beautiful Chorus, and it's just a constant, beautiful song of affirmations, one affirmation typically. That may resonate with you even more. Or you may want to have a couple things that you say, a personal mantra. I think that it's really up to you to decide what feels good to you. And that's just it. It should feel good to you. The next question is, what is your secret to living in your truth in an authentic and bold way? I love this question so much. And I think this is really interesting because if you asked me, and I just recently shared from the pages of my journal 2 years ago, it said, I just want to be myself. That was how I started the entry. And this was literally almost 2 years ago to the day. It was crazy. I just want to be myself. So I haven't always lived in my truth or lived in this authentic, bold way. But I did get to a point where I realized it was so draining to me to be anything other than myself. I found it excruciating to hide aspects of who I was, to minimize myself, to hide my humor and my spirituality or whatever it may be. It just was exhausting. It was really, really hard. And I kind of came to this moment in this realization that something had to give. And I wasn't happy trying to fit in different groups and different social situations. I really needed to be myself and show up. And as I started to do that, little by little, I received the validation that I was actually welcomed in even more when I started to just show up as I was, unapologetically so. I was almost ushered in with open arms, and it was such a beautiful gift. And this extended to my work as well. As soon as I started to share more of the mystical, magical side of myself, my podcast, Molly's Mornings, exploded. The app started to grow more. I think that living in your truth is a game changer, but it's also so necessary. I think it's truly impossible to find the success or find the fulfillment that you desire without being yourself, without being in your truth. Because if you do it through a lens of being someone else and you're trying to fit into this role, it's never going to feel like a true success. It's never going to feel like you've actually made it, because you'll always be hiding or suppressing parts of yourself. So I think it's kind of a couple of things. I think my secret was just deciding enough is enough. I'm just going to show up. This is exhausting. This isn't sustainable. Take it or leave it. And I think I had that moment where I was like, if I don't have any friends, if I lose it all, so be it. You know, so be it. That's completely okay. I also had a mentor 2 years ago. I went on a retreat, and it was incredible because the mentor was very much in their authentic self, unapologetic, so bold to the extreme. And I think that that showed me, look at how many people, including myself, have traveled across the world to work with this person, because they are so authentic. And it made me realize, as human beings, we are so drawn to that. So this is kind of a multi-part answer, but I think that all of this validation came and confirmation from just being in my authentic self. As soon as I saw that was being received, it became easier and easier to just do it. And certainly there have been people in my life that are not resonating with it. And I completely understand that too. And that's okay. But more often than not, there are a lot more people out there that are drawn to these things. And I think me being a safe space, being in my authentic self, has helped others feel that they can do that as well. So many people say to me, you know, Molly, I'm actually really curious about, you know, my sun sign, or what do you think about this, or what is the new moon? And so it's been really fun to see what people are interested in and to see my journey impact a lot of other people stepping into their power and their truth. What is something that people might not know about you? Whew, that is a big one. I think that I have lived a million lives, so I think people would be very fascinated to know that, yeah, about my million lives. But I guess a couple things, basic things, or I have a degree in biology. People are always curious about that, because obviously I'm very mystical, I'm very magical, I'm very much into the moon cycle and all things intuition, but I have this base of science, and I love science. I love the human body. I love biology. For a long time, I thought I wanted to go to medical school. I was in nursing school for a time, and it was something that I felt really called to do, being in the helping field. So that's something that I think people might not know about me. I'm trying to think what else. I have traveled all over the world doing different things. I interviewed the Prime Minister of Bhutan with one of my first businesses. I've had many businesses. People might not realize that. I had a production company for about a decade. I also had an online shop that was adorable and sold products that are handmade in the United States. And we worked with toy makers and candle makers. And it was a really fun and special time. And we did that out of our spare bedroom of our home. So it was a wild experience. I've also been married for almost going on 9 years. So that is something people may not realize. I live in a town with more cows than people, which is also kind of wild. Let's see. I'm trying to think what's juicy maybe. I dated someone that is kind of in a rock band, I guess you could say. They are in a rock band. They were in a rock band. Someone famous for a while when I was younger. So that's kind of exciting, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure what people would be surprised to know or might not know about me, but I am deeply private. That's something that maybe people wouldn't expect for me. It's a lot easier for me to share with you guys here than it is for me to share in my community. So I think that's something that people might not know, I guess. How do you manifest when your family is experiencing hard things? Let's kind of pivot from the rock star dating scene. I really relate to this, and I hear this so much, and I hear this very often. On this platform, on Wild Minds, it is my job, it is my soul's purpose, it is my work to be here for you, to be here unconditionally. I'm so honored to be a part of your journey. It means a lot to me. It carries a lot of weight. So it is my mission to know that I am here consistently, rain or shine, when I'm happy or sad, I make an effort to be here because your friendship means the world to me. However, there have been a lot of times where my family has been experiencing hardship. There have been a lot of times where there's a lot going on in the world. And often I've received messages where people say, how can you talk about the moon when we're going through X, Y, and Z? And there are these tragedies happening. And I completely feel this and I understand this. And this has been something that I've had to reconcile and move through and experience, and it's not easy. But my takeaway and my belief has always been, when we are in alignment with our potential, when we are in alignment with hope, that is where we can do our best work in terms of supporting and helping others. So I'm going to be really honest with you. I wasn't expecting to say this, but I have a brother that is very mentally ill. And over the course of my entire life, it has been an immense struggle. He has severe issues. He's in and out of facilities. He's up, he's down. He lives close by. It is heartbreaking, to say the least. And we wake up every morning holding our breath that we didn't miss a call in the night type of thing. It's very, very difficult to move through. So I don't want you to think, listening to this, well, Molly's got the perfect life and everything's easy for her. No wonder she can manifest. No, 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 no. I do understand hardship. I really, really do. And I've gone through my own things, of course, in life, and it is not easy. But how I manifest, even though there's so much hardship, there's so much going on, especially when I do feel good and I have a family member that's experiencing such low lows, how do you reconcile that? How do you move through that? And I always neutralize it by saying, when I am in alignment, I am aligned with hope, with peace, with power, with potential. And it means so much to me to be able to help people. So just like I said at the beginning of this response, it is something I take so, so seriously. So I continue to manifest. I continue to believe and put that at the forefront of everything I do, because I know that that's what will allow me to serve and what will allow me to actually make a difference and help. If I am completely overwhelmed, I say, well, I don't deserve good things if my brother is really struggling, if my family's going through something. I don't deserve to feel happy, or I don't know how to feel happy. I'm going to live in this sadness. That's not helping him. That's not helping you guys. That's not helping me or my family. So I think that it's essential to come back home when hard things are happening. Come back home to your own energetic field. Ask yourself, how do I feel? Am I okay? And if you're not, heal, realign, support yourself, care for yourself, do what you need to do. And I know that sounds very selfish, but it's not. It's necessary. It's necessary because, of course, that quote, you can't pour from an empty cup. We really, really, really do our best work, do our best nurturing, our best healing, our best helping when we come back home to our manifestations, again, to our inner power, our potential. So I don't know if that makes sense exactly, but I just... I'm saying basically, I understand, I feel you, it's not easy, it's never easy, but it's also okay if you're looking for permission or you're looking for guidance in that to separate a bit and say, listen, I need to take time for myself. I need to take time for my dreams, for my life, for what I want moving forward to reconnect with hope. So the next question is, sometimes it feels like my intuition is wrong. How do you learn to trust your intuition and have it be more accurate? This is, again, a great question. I have had this happen so many times, and it's very discouraging. It's very defeating. So your intuition is never wrong. It really isn't. And what is likely happening is that sometimes we want things so, so much that we can convince ourselves that it's our intuition, but it's actually the thinking mind. It's not a bad thing. It's just how it can kind of go sometimes. So our intuition is this almost energetic feeling deep within the body that says, don't go in there, or this is right for you, or it's time to say no, or, you know, a million things. And this will be felt on a very different level. People often explain to me their intuition is like a sense of knowing, a download, a thought that comes in that they had never had before, maybe goosebumps, maybe it's a physical sensation. It is so different. All day long, we receive things from the thinking mind. You should do this. You should do that. This isn't going to work. Say yes to this. That is thinking mind. And it's okay to go with that as well. But sometimes that is where things kind of go haywire and it feels like your intuition led you astray. By the way, there are no right or wrong answers. You were meant to be exactly where you're meant to be. So it's quite possible that it feels like your intuition was wrong, but if a door closed or something didn't work out, it's likely you needed to experience that to get to the next thing or to pivot or to move or whatever it may be. So don't be hard on yourself because your intuition can also work in mysterious ways sometimes. But it's really helpful to try to separate the thinking mind from your intuition. And that comes down to it being a very different experience. If you are in the thinking mind saying, yes, this is it, this is the time, I'm doing this. For me, I was convinced I was going, and still am, let's be honest, convinced that I am going to win the lottery. It could happen tonight. We don't know. I did get a ticket. But I was convinced that it was coming. I was receiving all these messages. My healer was like, Molly, I am with you. This wealth is coming in. I think you're going to win the lottery as well. I was there. I was on the frequency, manifesting, lottery after lottery. I did not win. And I felt frustrated because I felt like, oh, my intuition is wrong on this. Why is this happening? But what I realized in that experience was I wanted to win the lottery. My thinking mind filled in all the blanks to say, this is your intuition. This is it. This is your moment. Let's do it. But also, do I regret that experience? No, because, and I still play the lottery sometimes to this day because it's so important for me to maintain that frequency of anything is possible. And having that ticket sometimes is just enough for me to feel that much more aligned to that infinite possibility. So for you, if you are feeling like it's been wrong, go back to that scenario and rewrite it. Why was it wrong? How did that empower you? What was the point of that experience for you? And you can trust your intuition by doing that, seeing that there was a pathway that needed to be revealed, but also dialing in more to what's thinking mind and what's intuition, getting in touch with the physical sensations or the unique experience that your intuition is. And I will share with you just briefly, your intuition likely doesn't talk a lot, if that makes sense. It's going to be very clear. It's one word answers typically. It's not going to have all of these details. It doesn't usually work like that. Another question is, have things that you've wanted not manifested into your life? So this kind of goes hand in hand with the intuition being wrong. Of course, I wanted to win the lottery. I still do. I still may. But yes, a lot of the time I try to manifest things and it hasn't always worked out, and that is completely okay. And I will say, in hindsight, every single one of the things that I wanted or I thought I wanted to manifest, I'm so grateful that they didn't work out because it wouldn't have been right for me and it wasn't the right time or I wasn't ready. So it's always this, it's this or something better mentality for me. It's always been this or something better, this or something better. And I know that's really hard to neutralize in the moment when we're going through things. I'll just share with you, today I looked at a dream home that I have been looking at and for a long time. It finally came up on the market and we went and we were walking through all the rooms and it's so beautiful and there is so much, yes, so much magic there. It's like a little portal of heaven. And I was so excited. I am so excited. But there were just a few things timing wise that aren't quite right for us. And I said to Corey, I was like, listen, this is going to be what it's going to be. Whether or not we are convinced or it's the right timing, like if this house is meant for us, it will be for us. And that is the trust that I have in my ability to manifest 1000%. So if the house doesn't manifest, that's for a reason. And I really believe that. And if it's meant to be, it's going to be. It's going to move, especially with homes, guys. Homes, they know who they want to live there. They know what's meant for them. So always, without a doubt, know that the right house will find you at the right time. But that's profoundly changed my journey because I used to feel a lot of pressure around manifestation. And when things wouldn't work out for me in the way that I wanted to, I just felt, oh, so discouraged. But now I really feel that conviction and that everything is exactly as it's meant to be. What is meant for you will be. But we also obviously need to take the steps and co-create it and be there. I mean, I had to go look at the house. I had to put the energy out there. I have to look at the numbers. I have to visualize it. I have to do the steps that I need to take. And then it's up to the universe or whatever resonates with you to kind of pick it up from there. So if things are not manifesting into your life, it's also important to look at blocks. It's important to look at, do you actually even want those things? Is there a reason it's not manifesting? Maybe you're not quite there yet. Maybe there's some work to do on clearing. Maybe you need an added level of support and that kind of thing. That makes sense too. And that's always really helpful to look at. Another question that I got asked a lot is, what is the future of Wild Minds and what I've been teasing at things and what is coming and what's next? And I take a deep breath out because To be honest, I have been so emotional about Wild Minds recently. It's been so, so beautiful, but also a lot of different emotions have been coming up. And if you're unfamiliar, Wild Minds is my manifestation meditation app. The details are in the show notes. Please come over there. I would love to support you and get to know you more. But anyways, I have experienced a lot of growth on Wild Minds over the last couple of months, and it is so big and exciting, but it's also kind of hit me in these waves of emotion that I didn't expect at all. Just to kind of be honest with you, since Wild Minds was created about 2 years ago, I guess even maybe longer now, it was kind of this slow growth of I would get subscribers and then maybe it would dip, and then I would get more subscribers and then it would dip. So it often felt like it was never quite changing. It was growing maybe steadily over time, like maybe once a month I would, you know, see a little bit of influx, but it was very, very slow, and that's okay. And I was so grateful for the opportunity to be there and to see it through. And then all of a sudden, I was in Florida. I ran the manifestation challenge there, and things started to amplify, especially, I guess, at the beginning of the year, too, 2024. Things just started to really amp up, and I could feel that. And then now it's growing, doubling, doing things, doing all the things. And it's been so beautiful to experience that and to feel the community expanding. And I've had to really sit with myself and take on the feelings again, deep breath out. How do I want to show up as a leader of this community? How do I want to lead? How do I want to be here for so many people? And I know that sounds a bit strange because I'm here on the podcast with thousands of you, tens of thousands of you, but Wild Minds, when you're investing in something, you're investing in this product, this is your money, this is your hard-earned abundance, there's an added level of pressure or just an added level of energy, I would say, that I wanted to be sure I was ready to receive. And I never want to let you down. I never want to not do my best work. So it's been very interesting for me because I've had to really sit with myself and say, how do I show up here? How do I show up in my power and be who I need to be for this journey and to support people and be so, so solid? And my heroes are Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers. And that is because they did daily episodes for so long, for years, and they were so consistent. And that is who I wanted to be and still want to be on Wild Minds and here. That is the foundation of everything I've created through this work, is I want you to be able to count on me. When it feels like the world is falling apart or there's so much going on, I want to be that one person that you can say, Molly will be there. Molly is there. Every single day, Molly is there. That's who I want to be. But also that comes with an added element of pressure because I want to be that person, and that's not always easy. So what I've been doing, the future of Wild Minds, this is a very long answer, roundabout way, but I have cleared the deck. I have retired my programs. I have minimized my client load and said I'm only taking on, you know, a handful of private clients. And I have really just been so devoted to the energy of that space. I think about it. I dream about it. I'm there with you. I'm creating there every single day. And even though I'd like to say there's this huge opportunity on the horizon, I've got 10 investors lined up and I'm doing this and I'm pushing all these new features, I don't know that yet. I don't know all of that. I'm going to tease that there are a few things in the works, but nothing is right here, right now. But I feel very much in this flow with it, this beautiful flow of we're together every single day in this magical, sacred space. The energy, when I open up Wild Minds and I turn on, I sound 100 years old. When I turn on a meditation practice, I can feel the energy of so many of you from around the world. And that is so moving to me and so exciting to feel that activation. I can't even tell you. So the future for me is building on this and continuing to soar as a community, soar alongside one another, because it's not about me. Even though I am this facilitator and I believe wholeheartedly that it's my job to be consistent for you, I also know that we're in this together. We're a part of something bigger than ourselves, and we're contributing to something so beautiful. And I've always said that Wild Minds was for the dreamers of the world. And I feel that. I feel like we are creating this supportive space for the dreamers to come together and to dream bigger dreams than we've ever had, and to feel like it's not crazy or it's not impossible or it's delusional. This is the one place in the world that you can sit there and feel like, yeah, you know what? I can do this. Like, I can do this. And I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud of us. I'm so proud of our journey and everything that we've accomplished. And I just want to keep going. I just want to keep going and keep enjoying. And the emotion comes from just the weight and the feeling of true honor that I get to do this, that I get to live this life, that I get to be here with you. And I feel so lucky. I feel so, so lucky. I will leave this Q&A at that. I know that I was long-winded here. I hope that you enjoyed this. Let me know if you want to have a part two. I know I didn't get to anywhere near the amount of questions that came in, but this was such a fun time and space. Thank you for listening. I will see you over on the Wild Minds app. The details are in the show notes, or for another episode of Molly's Mornings. Thank you again for being here.